Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Hour number 4, welcome in on a Monday. Hope you had a great holiday weekend. Zach Gelb Show, CBS Sports Radio, at Zach Gelb on Twitter, at CBS Sports Radio as well. And we're coming to you live from the Rocket Mortgage by Quicken Loans Studios. When you need certainty in the home buying process with a loan that fits your life, Rocket can. Time to get to a little offsides, onsides, onsides, offsides on a Monday. Let's do it.
Zach's taking on the most polarizing issues in sports. Which side of the line of scrimmage will he end up on?
Offside. Defense number 69.
It's Onsides, Offsides with Zach Gelb on CBS Sports Radio.
All right, Trace, what do you got for me, brother?
All right, so Zach, the big news of the day, and that's a good day to be Patrick Mahomes. According to Adam Schefter, the 2020 Super Bowl MVP has agreed to a 10-year contract extension that'll keep him in Kansas City for 12 years through the 2031 season. The 10-year extension is worth up to $503 million, which is the richest deal in sports history. So onsides or offsides, Patrick Mahomes will win at least 3 Super Bowls in the next 12 years.
Does that mean the total being 3, or the total being 4, meaning that he wins 3 more in this next 10 years, or just 2 more to get to 3?
I think what Mikey B is going for is 3 more starting from today, so 4 total.
Wow. In the next 10 years?
12 years. If that helps, the extra 2 years.
I'm going to go offsides. I think the world of Patrick Mahomes. I think Patrick Mahomes is going to win a lot of Super Bowls in this league, and we see him win his first one last year. To expect him to win 3 more in the next 10 years, that's a lot of Super Bowls. Like, I'll even look at Brady. Brady won 3 and 4 years, then went on a run from 2005, which was Super Bowl 39, to the 2014-2015-ish area range. You know, he went 10 years without a Super Bowl. Because then the next one was Super Bowl 49. So, yeah, he went 10 years without a Super Bowl. I think that he'll eventually get to 4 in his career. But to expect him to get to 4 total in the next 12 years, yeah, that's asking a lot. That's asking a lot. It could happen, but I'll go offsides here.
Offside.
Here's the thing with that contract. I think it's the right thing to do. 12 years, well, it's 10 years, $503 million, but you have the 2 extra carrying over from his rookie deal. I think it's the right thing to do. I was surprised that it was 10, 12 years. I thought they were just going to give him a ridiculous amount of money over 5 years. I like what they did, though, because that's no longer in their concerns. Now, could it come back into their concerns if Mahomes wants more or Mahomes wants to renegotiate? I guess it can. But we're talking about $500 million. Now, people could always want more. People could always want to redo their contract. I don't think you have to worry about this now for a long time. You're not going to have to worry about the money for a long time. The only things that could hold this back are injuries to Mahomes, and then the other thing being the salary cap and how you manage it. But it's a good problem to have. What are you going to do? Not pay Mahomes? You have to pay Mahomes. The guy's been a starter for 2 years in the National Football League. AFC Championship game lost the year he was the league MVP. Then last year, wins the Super Bowl and the Super Bowl MVP. It's only the beginning for Patrick Mahomes. He's going to have a great career for a very long time. And right now, he's not only the best quarterback in the league, he's the best player in the league, and he's the face of the league for years and years to come. Number 2, what do you got?
All right, Zach. So during a recent episode of the Let's Get Technical podcast, former NBA player Gerald Brown joined hosts Rasheed Wallace and Bonzi Wells and said, quote, There's a story going around that the owner of the Brooklyn Nets is looking to make a, quote, godfather offer to Greg Popovich. And when I say godfather offer, it's something he can't refuse, end quote. Now, Pop's house is for sale in San Antonio, and Nets GM Sean Marks used to work in the Spurs front office. So onsides or offsides, Greg Popovich will be the next head coach of the Brooklyn Nets.
Offsides, I think that's a fantasy world. Pop's last job is going to be at the San Antonio Spurs. I would think he's going to be back with the Spurs next year. Who's going to be coaching the Nets? I would probably guess Ty Lue. And I would rather have Greg Popovich than Ty Lue, but it seems like Ty Lue's going to be the guy. Not saying that KD and Kyrie don't like Greg Popovich, but I would think they would bring in someone who's a lesser name, still a championship-winning coach. I give LeBron most of the credit for winning that title. That's just what happens when you play with LeBron, or LeBron plays for you. That's just the way that it goes. But I would be surprised. Pop in Brooklyn, I get the Sean Marks connection and all that. That one would surprise me. It would be a good move, though, for Pop, because you get back in the championship contending picture. You're not going to win another championship with the San Antonio Spurs with the team that you have right now. If you go with the Nets, maybe you coach for another 3, 4, 5 more years. Who knows? And if KD and Kyrie could be healthy, yeah, you're in the championship contending picture. You're at least in a spot to get to the finals in the Eastern Conference, because the Bucks' biggest competition next year most likely will be the Brooklyn Nets. And wouldn't that be something? Mikey B would be all going nuts, going crazy. Spurs once beat the Nets in the finals. That was the Admiral David Robinson's final game. And then Pop, who was coaching that team, ends up coaching the Nets and maybe wins a championship with Brooklyn. Mikey B would like that. Unfortunately, though, for Mikey B, I don't think Pop's going to be the coach next year. Offsides.
Offside.
Number 3.
Los Angeles Dodgers left-hand pitcher David Price became one of the latest players to opt out of the 2020 season. He announced his decision on Saturday through a message posted on his social media accounts. Now, the Dodgers have said they fully support Price's decision to set up the season. Now, if you go back and remember, the Dodgers acquired Price along with outfielder Mookie Betts as part of an off-season trade with the Boston Red Sox. So, onsides or offsides, the Dodgers will represent the NL in the World Series.
All right, here's my question to you. If I say the Dodgers don't get to the World Series, who's the team in the NL that you like? I know the Braves just lost Markakis, and Freddie Freeman has the coronavirus. Nationals, tough to expect them to repeat again. They don't have Rendon anymore, but they still have a very good pitching staff. If we look in the Central, you have some good teams. Brewers, Cardinals, Cubs. Tough to differentiate those teams. And in the West, it's the Dodgers and everybody else. If I had to give you one team in 60 games, anything could happen. One team in the NL to get to the World Series other than the Dodgers, you say who?
Can I be a homer here for a second?
Hey, you're going with the Mets?
I'm
going
to go with the Mets.
You still drinking from this past weekend? Are you still drinking from this past weekend?
No, I am not. I am completely sober, I promise.
The Mets?
Think about it logistically for a quick second.
If you tell me they make the playoffs, I wouldn't yell at you. The World Series?
They have the pitching to do so.
Do they really?
They have the bats.
DeGrom and Stroman. You don't have Syndergaard there anymore. He got hurt.
But Steven Matz is a nice piece. But what other team has the pitching to do so? That's the thing. In the 60-game season, you're going to need all hands on deck here. I like the Cubs, but their pitching stinks. So if you can't keep a team in the ballpark, good luck trying to outscore a team every single night. They like the Phillies. I don't trust, to be completely honest.
Here's what concerns me about the Mets. Hey, I get your point based off the pitching. You know the Mets do not have good luck. If either Stroman or DeGrom get hurt, they're screwed. They're done.
Oh, totally, without a doubt. But
here's my problem with the Mets. There's too much hoping. Stroman's a good pitcher. I need to see Stroman be a good pitcher with the Mets. And the bullpen, you have Diaz, Betances, and Familia. All three can be very good. We're hoping they're going to be good. All three have struggled. Betances struggled to stay healthy. Familia struggles to close the games. And Edwin Diaz was horrible last year.
Oh, I get the skepticism. I live it 24/7. I get it. But I'm looking at the landscape. Like, to me, it's between the Mets and the Nationals, to be honest. Those are the two teams that have both the pitching and the hitting to make a run. If it's not going to be the Dodgers, right? We're going to put them to the side, saying it's not the Dodgers. Who's going to be? You need the full, the full arsenal here.
I'm going Dodgers.
Yeah, but what about your own question? If it's not the Dodgers, who?
If it's not the Dodgers, then who? I would look at the Cardinals. I get your point on the pitching, but I would look at a team in the Central. Whatever team emerges from the Central. And here's another thing. Not that I love their starting pitching. I don't love their starting pitching. But if I'm going to go to another team in the NL East, and let's say I just don't pick the Braves, wouldn't you go the Phillies in front of the Mets?
I just don't trust them. I really don't. I don't think their pitching can bounce back again. And
with Wheeler and Arrieta?
Do you trust Zach Wheeler to be legitimate? I don't, to be honest.
I don't know. See, the 60-game season can help Zach Wheeler. If he's the good Zach Wheeler.
Right, but that's a major
question
mark.
But if it's the bad Zach Wheeler, that's a problem. And Arrieta, there's not a lot of confidence there. Nola's good, though. I think Nola's going to have a big year. But you would rather have the Phillies lineup than the Mets lineup, right?
Hitting-wise, I mean, yeah.
It's not a drastic. I don't think it's a drastic difference. But
it's close enough, and I think the Mets
pitching,
honestly,
is better. You got
Reese
Hoskins, you got Bryce Harper. Cespedes, what's Cespedes going to be? That's a big question.
Well, that's a question. But what's Bryce Harper going to be? I mean, this guy's notorious for going to slumps. If he is a, you know, six-week slump, Phillies are dead. Toast.
I think he's going to hit some bombs this year.
Phillies better hope so. They're in big trouble.
Put it this way. I personally, my answer would be the Cardinals. I would not be big believers in the Phillies and the Mets this year. I'm not saying they can't get to the postseason, but to get to the World Series, and the Braves are still going to be a very good team. They just got to show up in their playoff game this year. They got to do that. All right, so yeah, I'm taking, when you ask me, the Dodgers or the field, in the NL, yeah, I take the Dodgers on sides.
All right, the NFL world got a jolt last week when Cam Newton signed a one-year deal with the
New England Patriots. Wait, time out. Let me just go back to the last thing. Sorry to interrupt you.
No, you're good.
That's what makes the baseball season actually fun this year. Even though I am so fed up with baseball, I'm annoyed with Manfred, I'm annoyed with Tony Clark, there's a lot of unknown about this baseball season. And yes, they have to get the games in. That's number one. That's the biggest unknown. You even look at the AL, I expect the Yankees and the Astros. If you'd asked me before the year who gets the ALCS, it's Yankees and the Astros. All it takes, 3-4 bad weeks from the Yankees or the Astros or a slow start, big injury to a player or two, they could be right out of the race.
Couldn't agree more. The ultimate marathon is now a sprint. Like you said, you get off to a hot start, you get off to a cold start. Teams that we think didn't have a shot or teams that we think are going to be legit. Like you said, you 2 weeks, a rough two-week stretch. What is that?
You know why you said the Mets?
60-60? What?
You know why you said the Mets?
Why?
Because you saw a report about 30 minutes ago. You see this report?
About Steve Cohen coming back?
Yep. You saw that report that Steve Cohen's making another big push to buy the Mets from the New York Post. And Ryan Tracehickey started popping champagne at 345 Hudson Street right now with no one around. Maybe sipping a little champagne. And you got excited about that thought of big Stevie Cohen buying the Mets. You said, why not? Screw it. Mets are going to go to the World Series this year.
You know, I mean, that's it. I'm just riding the wave of momentum. Steve Cohen, the baseball schedule gets released. I'm just pushing my chips all into the center here.
I think you're the only person excited about the baseball schedule coming out. There's been no reaction about this. None.
Well, in classic MLB fashion, I think a lot of attention's been on Patrick Mahomes. And of course.
Yes.
In a time when nothing's going on, that any sports story gets a ton of news. Like you said, you think the baseball schedule would get some news? Nope, of course it comes out hours after Patrick Mahomes gets
insanely
massive deal.
They told us this morning that the schedule was coming out. We knew eventually the schedule was coming, but they had that release this morning that, oh yeah, the schedule's going to come out tonight. Wouldn't you have hyped that up a little bit?
As you know, baseball and marketing don't exactly go well together. Let's just say that.
Think about this logically, though. I get that there's no big events going on right now. You're coming off a holiday weekend. Wouldn't you have thought, though, Wednesday? Let's release this on a Wednesday and try to dominate the conversation Wednesday night, lead into Thursday, maybe another thought on a Friday, and then everyone goes off on another weekend. Wouldn't you have thought that instead of dumping it on Monday where people, I guess, either get back into the office or get back behind their phones and news can potentially come down?
I mean, think about it. They could, in theory, if this Mahomes news didn't drop, could have dragged it out for almost a week. I mean, right, you're slowly getting back to, you know, coming off a holiday weekend.
Are we talking
about
the baseball schedule for a week? A week?
And what else is there to talk about?
And hockey comes down with the news today as well that they give you a date on when they're going to return. Not that baseball is getting usurped by hockey, but you had three big news stories today. The biggest being Mahomes. You get a date when hockey's coming back, and then the baseball schedule came out. zero buzz about the baseball schedule.
I will say this, though. Outside of the NFL schedule, does anyone really care about any other major sports schedule getting released? Outside of, like,
no,
you know,
it's
you look
too many
at
games.
Right. So it's like,
except this year when you had the return to basketball, people cared about those eight games.
Did people really, though? Did you watch that schedule release?
I was on the air, but the thing I looked at was the Pelicans getting such an easy schedule. And that annoyed a lot of people. Now, the Pelicans, their strength to schedule, depending on what you looked at, was very easy down the stretch when the league did pause, but that didn't work the way for every other team. There was, though, more excitement about the basketball schedule coming back. Baseball schedule comes out, and I get it's only 60 games, and there could be some more excitement. Have you heard a pin drop about this evening?
No, you're right about that. It's like it almost didn't happen, which is a scary thought for baseball because a lot of their news has kind of come and gone without really anyone blinking.
You know what it's like? It's almost as if baseball announced that they were going to release their schedule either yesterday or I think it was this morning. And then Goodell gets on the phone, calls up the Hunt family and goes, "Hey, how close are you to that Mahomes extension?" "Oh, yeah, we're actually dotting the I's right now and crossing the T's." "All right, expedite that process. Maybe give them an extra $30 million, make it up to $503 million, and let's get that news out 2 hours before the baseball schedule comes out." And Gary Bettman probably was on a conference call, too. "Oh, baseball's having their schedule come out? All right, let's finalize our return to play and make sure that we get the date on out there." Next question. I sound like Drew Rosenhaus now.
Well, speaking of which, let's talk some NFL, Zach. As the NFL world last week did get a jolt when Cam Newton signed a one-year deal with the New England Patriots. And according to Cam's Instagram, it sounds like he's pretty fired up for the 2020 season. He said, quote, "You're going to choose that over this," end quote, in a recent and intense Instagram video. He continued by saying, quote, "Be a fool if you want to. I'm really a monster, but I'll tell you this, I'm getting tired of being humble now," end quote. Onsides or offsides, Cam Newton will be the starting quarterback for the Patriots in 2021.
Ooh, 2021. Can I be a homer here since you were a homer earlier on this conversation?
Yeah, let's have some fun. Let's homer it up.
I sure damn hope so. I'm going onsides on this one. Now, if you think about it, he has to stay healthy this year. And not only stay healthy, but play well. And then what, a long-term deal? Who knows now? 10-year deals. But I would still imagine a long-term deal now would be, what, 3 or 4 years? If Cam stays healthy, then he'll be 32. You're probably looking at a four-year deal. Heck, Tannehill had health issues, gets a four-year $118 million deal. So if Cam plays healthy, and it's not only healthy but plays well, he's looking at a four-year deal. Could the Patriots let him go? If you have a good season, if the guy stays healthy, it's going to be tough to justify. I hope he is, because if he is, that means he had a good season this year and he was healthy. I'd like to see Cam have a good season and stay healthy. So I'll go homer here on sides.
All right.
A lot working against it, though.
A lot,
like
yes.
I said, yes. Has to stay healthy, and then Belichick has to want to pay him, too.
As you know, Bill Belichick
hates sitting back, though.
He's
sitting back, though, with this crystal ball, and he's going, "I have Cam just where I want him. He's annoyed. He has something to prove, and I'm barely paying him anything this year. And if it's a disaster, I'll either get a quarterback in the draft, try this experiment with Stidham after this year, but if it works, I have a former league MVP on my roster." Just when you think Belichick, some said Belichick lost a step after letting Tom Brady go. I'm still annoyed that he did let Tom Brady go. But I would never question the man in finding a way to make something work. Now, I'm not telling you they're going to the playoffs this year. I'm not telling you that they're going to a Super Bowl this year. I'm not even telling you they're going to win the division this year. What he did, though, recently is a better alternative than what we thought was going to happen. So whenever you doubt Belichick for just a simple slight second, he makes you go, "Yeah, I probably shouldn't have done that." All right, last one.
I'll finish up with this, Zach. David Njoku has requested a trade away from the Browns as the former first-round pick is looking for a fresh start. The team has a new head coach and front office who were not there when he was drafted. And also, the Browns just signed Austin Hooper to a significant contract in free agency and then went to draft Harrison Bryant in the fourth round. Now, the Browns reportedly don't have any immediate plans to trade Njoku. So onsides or offsides, the Browns should trade David Njoku.
Do you think David Njoku is going to get a second contract with the Cleveland Browns?
I'm going to say no.
Entering his fourth year in the league.
Not one that he wants, at least.
Had a good 2018. Barely played last year. I'm going to say no. And they just drafted, like you said, the kid Brian from FAU, who I absolutely loved months before the draft. And they just gave Austin Hooper a big lucrative contract, too. If you, I know that you picked him in the first round, towards the end of the first round. If you could get back a fourth for David Njoku, don't you pull the trigger on that deal?
If you know you're not going to sign with the number that he wants, absolutely. You got to get some value back, you know?
Yeah, I would trade him. The Browns should trade David Njoku. I'm going onsides right there. That's Onsides Offsides on a Monday. We will take a quick break here, and we'll come on back. It's the Zach Gelb Show on CBS Sports Radio.
You're listening to the Zach Gelb Show. The Zach Gelb Show is on the air across the nation on CBS Sports Radio. Here's Zach Gelb.
Shuffle your plans and go all in as CBS Sports Network brings you the World Poker Tour tonight at 10 Eastern, 7 Pacific on the 24-hour home of CBS Sports. Let's be a little hypocritical here. I just trashed the baseball schedule and no one's talking about it. We will talk about it a little bit right now. I'm just curious, when you get to the weekday games, when you have a full week and you go Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, you'll be and you leave out Saturday, Sunday, when you have five weekday games, how many afternoon games are going to happen? Because in the NBA's return, they're having a decent amount of weekday day games. I'm curious how many weekday day games baseball does have. Because if I'm baseball, and I'll look at the schedule right now, I would try to dominate from 1:30, 2 o'clock, all the way through the night as well. You know basketball is going to have the best ratings. Then after that, baseball will probably have better ratings than hockey. Playoff hockey is going to be so much fun, though. And I really hope when we start these sports, hockey being the first, baseball being the 23rd, basketball being the 30th, that we start the sports and end up finishing them. And for hockey and for basketball, where they have the advantages, their seasons have already pretty much, for the most part, the regular seasons, you've had the majority of those regular season games. Hockey, you're going right to the playoffs qualifying rounds to lead into the playoffs. And for the NBA, you're playing eight games. Every team's playing eight games, and then you go to the postseason. I think those sports are going to finish. You would think. Now, in the bubbles, how many people end up getting the coronavirus and then do they shut it down? That's the big question. But for a sport like baseball, you have to, and I get that the timelines are going to match up, but you have to get through 60 regular season games and then go to your postseason. Who knows, though? Because for basketball and for hockey, if October then comes and you got to shut everything down, and if you get the second wave, you got a few games left, can you finish it up? Or is it going to be one of those things where, nope, that's it? That would be miserable if we get this regular season come back and then we got to shut it down in the postseason. But then yet again, I guess at least you give us something to watch. But if you have to shut it down again, you're not going to be able to continue up the playoffs and everything. All right, let me get to the schedule here for baseball. Here's what they'll open up the season with on July 23rd. Yankees at Nationals, Giants at Dodgers. Yankees at Nationals, start time 7:08 p.m. Eastern in D.C. Giants and Dodgers, start time 10:08 p.m. Eastern, that at Dodger Stadium. Are the Nationals going to have a ring ceremony? Are they going to fly a banner because they won the championship? You're not going to have fans in the stands. Then what, are you going to delay it till next season when you hope that there's going to be fans in the stands? I would probably guess that they do the ring ceremony and they raise the banner that night. How do you even give out the ring ceremony, though? You're not going to have someone, what, are you going to have all the rings spread out on a table and players have to come up to the table and pick up their rings? Who knows? Be interested to see what that opening night's like. On Friday, that first Friday, your games are 4:10 p.m. Eastern, 6:10 p.m. Eastern. 640, 705, 710, 710, 730, 805, 810, 815, 910, 910, 940, 1010. That first Friday, Braves at Mets, Tigers at Reds, Blue Jays at Rays, Marlins at Phillies, Royals at the Indians, Brewers at the Cubs, Orioles at the Red Sox, Rockies at the Rangers, Twins at the White Sox, Pirates at the Cardinals, Mariners at Astros, Diamondbacks at the Padres, Giants at the Dodgers, and then Angels at the Athletics. All right, let me go to, because you have afternoon games on Saturday. You have afternoon games on Sunday. Let's look at that first full week. Monday, July 27th. You have 2 day games. Angels at the Athletics at 3:40 p.m. Eastern time start. Diamondbacks at the Padres, 4:10 p.m. Eastern time start. Who cares? Who cares? Blue Jays at the Nationals, 6:05 p.m. Eastern. So you get an earlier start. Cubs at the Reds, 6:40 p.m. Eastern. Braves at the Rays, 6:40 p.m. Eastern. And then for the most part, it's your night games. Brewers at Pirates, 7:05. Yankees at Philly, 7:05. Orioles at Marlins, 7:10. White Sox at Indians, 7:10. Royals at the Tigers, 7:10. Mariners at the Astros, 7:10. Mets at the Red Sox, 7:30. That's weird. The West Coast games are the after. Isn't that weird, Trace? Two West Coast games are the early games. The East Coast games are the later games.
I mean, very, very
does
baseball,
that make
right?
Sense
it's
to
just
you?
It's backwards. Up is down, left is right. It's just yeah. Doesn't make any sense. That's
like
for
imagine
sure.
If they put Yankees at Phillies. Yeah, you probably want that at 7:05. 7:05 is fine. But if they put that at 3:40 and you have something to watch while you're working from home on a Monday, that would be great. Instead, you give me Angels and Athletics, two good teams, and Diamondbacks at Padres. Why would your West Coast games be earlier? That doesn't make sense. All right, let me look one more day out of the week. Tuesday, Blue Jays at Nationals, 4:05. Yankees at Philly, 6:05. Then you got 6:40, 6:40, 7:05, 7:10. 7:10, 7:10, 7:30, 8:10. And then you got a bunch of West Coast games. 9:05, 9:10, 9:40, 9:40, 9:45. Weird. Very, very weird. I just want to see the rest of the week when we go through like Wednesdays. All right, Wednesday is you have a few more day games. Actually, no, it looks like the day games, it's like two a day. On Thursday, earliest game, July 30th, it's at 6:10 p.m. Eastern. Friday, you got a 2:10 game, then 6:37. This is all wacky. I'm not going to bore you to death with the entire schedule. Bob Uecker, how much of a chance do you think the Mets have, by the way, this year?
I think it's okay, you know, good. Certainly you can't pencil them in as the team to beat, but there are a lot of things that make you feel confident. You know, the reports we're getting on Cespedes, Zach, are encouraging, if you want to believe in that. Certainly they have the pitching. If you want to believe in things like simulated games, Steven Matz is going to follow up Jacob deGrom as the Cy Young Award winner this year. We usually talk about hope springs eternal in the spring. Well, maybe we can say hope springs eternal in the summer this time around.
Well, didn't the Yankees have some sort of game tonight?
In an intra-squad game, and it was actually televised. And
yeah.
I was following some people on Twitter who were talking about the absurdity of actually watching glorified batting practice, which is what it was.
Yeah, Stanton wasn't even running. I read something like that.
Yeah, and you had, while the game, quote-unquote, was going on, you had pitchers throwing in the outfield. It was like watching a pregame deal, but there was actually some baseball being played, and you had a Yankees prospect, Clark Schmidt, who, of course, he wanted to impress, and he threw two scoreless innings, if you want to buy into whatever that means. But, yeah, they played an intra-squad game, and I guess they ramp it up from here. I mean, you've got to eventually start getting pretty serious pretty quickly about your work because, I mean, look, we're 2 weeks away from a hoped-for season, so the green light is on.
The summer camp stuff, I have zero interest in. Wake me up when the season starts. I could not see myself – even if you know, I was in the New York City studios and had the TVs in front of me, I could not see myself checking out this Yankee game.
No, I would have looked at it, and then if I had given it more than a minute, I would have really
been disappointed with yourself.
Yeah, I mean, but again, following some of the comments on Twitter, you know, some people in a guilty way were saying they were, you know, indulging it because, well, it was all they've had, you know, of
fair
legitimacy lately. And then, all right, you got your fix and you move on. But
here's my biggest question for the baseball season, Bob. How are the Astros players? Because everyone was so concerned. Are they going to go city for city, get yelled at by all the fans? There's going to be retaliation. Everyone was getting, like, all amped up for that. I really thought it was going to be good for baseball. I want to know when an Astros player gets plunked multiple times in the game, something that I don't like to see, how they're going to respond to this. Because you're not allowed to get in a brawl. Now, can a brawl happen? Yeah, they're going to make a – they made that rule that the brawls can happen, but it doesn't mean that if a player throws his bat down and starts to charge the mound, that the brawl isn't going to happen. Now, it would be an awful look for baseball, but I'll be very curious to see how the players police the game or try to police the game, and then how the Astros players do respond to it. And you saw it probably over the weekend, the shirt Trevor Bauer was wearing. Probably still going to have a lot of PO'd players, I would say.
Yeah, and I'll tell you what, you make a good point about nobody in the stands, and if it's going to happen, and it will happen, you know there's going to be something. It'll happen early. And one thing you don't have is the emotion of the energy of the crowd contributing to the tension. And I'll give you an example that you remember really well. And I was at the game when Roger Clemens batted at Shea Stadium against Sean Estes.
Yes.
And Estes threw behind him. But what the point I'm making is that, Zach, you could, and I know I'm going down the cliche route here, you could feel
yes.
the tension in the air. You knew what it was building up to. Now, you would assume that same kind of tension, especially early in the season, would have surrounded the Astros the first time they're in a road situation. And that's not going to be there. So you make a good point. I wonder how this is all going to turn out, how it will be policed, so to speak.
Great Mets victory that day, by the way. Estes took Clemens deep. Piazza took Clemens deep. And then a fan ran on the field, too, I also remember. I was at that game.
That's all true. And you're right. Estes gets ridiculed to this day for, you know, missing Clemens by a mile. But when he homered, that's what I remembered.
Yeah.
Thank you.
And then the other part, too, just bringing in the involvement. Like, even the NBA, if there's a little pushing and shoving, if you're in a playoff game, you have the crowd on top of you, maybe it escalates to something else. The emotion by the players and seeing how much the players are in it, and with the playoffs on the line, you definitely think they would be in it. Like, LeBron going for a championship, he's going to be in it. But you wonder if that's going to be a feel across the entire bench, and if some players aren't going to be able to get into it because they do thrive off, like a reliever, for example, in baseball, running out of the bullpen, Metallica music blasting, getting psyched and nuts, getting ready to go for the game. How those relievers are also going to think about it, too, is going to be something interesting.
Yeah, and you may need in Major League Baseball, as the NBA's talked about, that seven-second delay, because anything that's said, we're going to hear it.
That is true. If there's a brawl in baseball, there's no way they're showing that on the television. All right, we'll get to the closing bell.
You're listening to The Zach Gelb Show.
Hey, this is Howie.
And this is Nick
from the Backstreet Boys.
And you're listening to the Zach Gelb Show on CBS Sports Radio. And guess what?
Zach is back. All right.
He's live. He's nationwide on CBS Sports Radio. This is the Zach Gelb Show.
CBS Sports Radio, toll-free line 855-212-4227 is sponsored by Geico. Did you know that right now Geico is offering an extra 15% credit on car, motorcycle, and RV policies? That's on top of what Geico could already save you. So what are you waiting for? Visit Geico.com to learn more. Mr. Matt's 2 on Twitter says, you could follow me and tweet me at Zach Gelb. He says, Angels fan living in H-Town, so no hometown bias. I have no problem with the cheating because everyone is doing it. Astros just got caught. Why is everyone so mad about it? Well, here's what happens. Yes, I will agree more teams are doing this. We don't know which teams, though. When you cheat and lose, the reaction is, ah, cheaters never win. When you cheat and win, though, other fan bases feel like they got robbed of something. But it's not only that. What it is was the arrogance from the Astros organization. Jim Crane, embarrassing press conference. A.J. Hinch, embarrassing interview with Tom Verducci. Jeff Luhnow, embarrassing statements. And then the players did not look good either when some wouldn't speak or they gave half-ass apologies. There's one thing to cheat and get caught. There's another thing to cheat and then have a bad excuse and a bad explanation. Don't get me wrong, though. I want to see the Astros go as far as possible this year. Now, maybe it's a little bit different with no fans in the stands like we were talking about with Bob, but I wanted to see the Astros this past year get to a league championship series if the fans were in the stands. Now I'll be curious to see what the reaction is. And what Trevor Bauer wore the other day, which, by the way, with all the talking Bauer has done, sometimes he's in the right, sometimes he's in the wrong. He better have a monster year this year. He better have a lights-out season this year for Cincinnati. He showed up to summer camp, spring training 2.0, whatever you called it, and he was wearing a shirt that said, Houston cheated, trash town, 2017 chumps. That's good for baseball. I really wish there were going to be fans in the stands this year, and it doesn't look like that's going to happen. It's probably the right thing not to do so. That is baseball's probably, even though, hey, the health and safety of everyone is important, but that is the most unfortunate thing for baseball in terms of on the field, is that Astros element to it and storyline, it loses some luster compared to if there was going to be fans in the stands. And we'll see how players, if they do elect to police it. You know, a few players will. Question is how many. Let's get to the closing bell. Ring it.
Another day is in the books, and we're taking stock of the sports world. It's time to find out who's up and who's down. Let's end the day right and hit the closing bell. Only on the Zach Gelb Show.
Patrick Mahomes, 10-year extension for $500 million. Do I need to say more? Stock up. Andy Reid, couldn't win a big game in Philadelphia. Couldn't win a big game in Kansas City. Now wins the Super Bowl in Kansas City. Now has Patrick Mahomes under contract for 12 years. Who knows how much longer Andy is going to coach, but I'm going to go out on a limb here and say that he'll have another chance or two or three or four or five to win another Super Bowl. And probably will add another Super Bowl ring on his big finger. Andy Reid, Patrick Mahomes trade. Look what he was able to do. Swap picks with the Bills, go from 27 to 10, gave up a third rounder and a first rounder, and they get Patrick Mahomes. Mahomes goes from, won't get it done, another Big 12 quarterback, Texas Tech, not going to work. 10th overall pick in the draft, sits 1 year behind Alex Smith. Next year wins the league MVP, the year after that the Super Bowl MVP. Andy Reid benefits from it the most, though, and his legacy. Because if Andy Reid didn't have Patrick Mahomes, we're still sitting here saying, is Andy going to get that ring? Is Andy going to get that ring? Now that conversation is out the window. Stock up to Andy Reid. A big stock up to Aaron Rodgers. Aaron Rodgers has visited a bar in New York City. It's a Packers bar. And I guess the bar is called The Kettle. Well, they were raising money because the rent's just ridiculous. It's called the Kettle of Fish Bar. The rent is just absolutely ridiculous in New York City. You're not having any customers come on in. You know, maybe they have some curbside delivery. Maybe they sell some food. Who knows? But Roger saw this tweet of this GoFundMe page, retweets it. Now it's $58,000 raised. The goal's $100,000. I don't know if Aaron Rodgers donated. I'm going to say that if it's only $58,000 that he hasn't donated yet, but I would imagine if you're going to retweet it and tweet Save the Kettle that he's going to donate soon. But it's nice to direct the attention to that bar. Many small businesses, local businesses, just been completely getting destroyed because of the coronavirus. So whatever people could do and use their platform would be great. But I would hope Rodgers, and I don't know if he did or not, I would hope Rodgers, though, will eventually donate as well. But getting the word out, we give a stock up to Aaron Rodgers. Stevie Cohen, you're not going to buy the Mets. You're not going to do it. I'm trying to antagonize him. Please, Steve Cohen, buy the Mets. I love that I'm reading in the New York Post right now that Steve Cohen's making another big push to buy the New York Mets. Get her done, Stevie. Stock up. Stock down to Bryson DeChambeau. Did win the Rocket Mortgage tournament over the weekend, 23 under. Had a little incident with the cameraman on Saturday. And then after his round on Saturday, he said to the Golf Channel, "The cameraman was literally watching me the entire way, and after getting out of the bunker, walking up next to the green, and I was just like, sir, what is the need to watch me that long? I mean, I understand it's his job to video me, but at some point, I think we need to start protecting our players out here compared to showing a potential vulnerability and hurting someone's image. I just don't think that's necessarily the right thing to do." If this was on a random city street, I could understand his frustration if someone was harassing him and annoying him. But this is on the golf course. You had a bad shot. You gave a reaction that you were frustrated with probably, and you're annoyed that it's going to hurt your image. I think it's great when golfers show their human side of it. Just like he showed his human side on Sunday after sinking a big birdie putt, he let out a roar. Don't attack the poor camera guy. Not the first time, not the last time a golfer, an athlete's going to go after a camera guy, but your post-round explanation is an absolute joke. Stock down to Bryson DeChambeau. Last night, I was getting some ice cream, ending the holiday weekend off with a little ice cream, and I went into the store, and I was never thinking about getting a sample with all that's going on. I saw a big sign, though, at an ice cream store that said, "No samples during the coronavirus pandemic." That was so fun as a kid going to an ice cream store. Before you get your ice cream, get like 3-4 samples. Just seeing that in words, no samples, very disappointing. For a big kid like myself, I get it. It's the right thing to do. But kids getting deprived of that, I have to give it a stock down. And that's the closing bell. And that's the Zach Gelb Show on CBS Sports Radio. Fun show today. Like to thank Leroy Butler for joining us. Like to thank also Cliff Averill and each and every one of you for listening, for tweeting, and even calling, whether it was a legitimate call or a prank phone call. We had 3 prank phone calls in a row tonight. At one point, and only one had a decent joke. All right, that's it. That's all the time we have today. We'll talk to you tomorrow right here on CBS Sports Radio. I'd like to thank my crew. I'd like to thank you. Chat to you tomorrow, 6 p.m. Eastern, 3 Pacific. Deion Branch will join us. Peace!
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.